Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We're not quite there yet. We've got 2 weeks to go until the Cheltenham Festival. We've got an action-packed day for you with 10 live ITV races to preview. There's £100,000 up for grabs if a horse can win the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso and follow up at the festival. And there's a big field, many of which are going to try and do so. That's one of five ITV races we're looking at on Kelso's big day on Saturday. We also head to Newbury, where it's Greatwood Gold Cup Day, and there's Britain's leading, or one of Britain's leading Grand National contenders in Can Do Kid, warming up for the big one at Aintree. We'll have two live ITV races to look at there. And we've got three at Doncaster to look forward to, including a very, very competitive Grimthorpe Handicap Chase. My name is James Stevens, regular host of the Postcast, and joining me this week are a few of our old favourites. Johnny Pearson, just below me if you're watching on screen, Robbie Wilders to my right, and in the opposite corner, Ed Nicholson. Before we get stuck into the action, as always, if you do enjoy the show, rate, review and subscribe, especially with loads of content for the Cheltenham Festival soon to come up on the Racing Post channels. But let's get stuck into the big meeting of the weekend. We're going to Kelso, north of the border, where it's good to soft in places, as we record on Thursday afternoon, and we're going to start in the 110 at Kelso, the Bet365 Handicap Chase. It's a big day for Dan Skelton at Kelso. He was looking like he'd have the favourite, but Helm Wynn has overtaken him here as the favourite. He is 13-8 favourite, Real Stone for the Skeltons at 7-4, Netty Well 13-2, Bollinger and Krug 9-1, Kidman 10-1, and Gallic Geordie at 14-1. Let's start with you, Robbie. What do you like in our opener?
Yeah, big fan of Hellman, James. He beat my Coral Cup fancy Be Aware Sandown last season in novice handicap. That form's worked out exceptionally. There was other really good horses there. Steel Ally, Secret Squirrel, Fiercely Proud. He's not quite gone on from his first eye over fences. He actually looked like he was going to beat Telepathique at Warwick. And Telepathique has gone up £26 since then. But he didn't see out his race. He's done that a couple of times recently, but he's had his wind looked at since. If that was the underlying issue, then I think he's definitely well handicapped and he's the one to beat.
Johnny?
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with Robbie there. I do fancy Real Stone for the Skeltons. He won pretty comfortably last time. The second ran on Wednesday, which is yesterday at the time of recording, actually ran a fairly decent race. That's the third even. The second's running at Newbury on Friday, and I fancy that to go well in that race at Newbury. If you look back to his form at Newbury in March behind I'd Like to Know, I think that's a really solid piece of form. You had Dan Matt back in third that day, and that form's working out well. I see him running a big race. I think he should be the favourite here.
Difference of opinion in our opener. Ed, are you going to seal the deal for us? Whose side are you on?
Yeah, I'm on Robbie's side. I've gone for Helm Wynn. Can't really add anything to what Robbie has said already. The only thing I would say is that he's been disappointing over fences, but he comes here on the back of wind surgery. So maybe that's a bit of an excuse for those performances. But as Robbie said, he was quite a good handicap hurdler. That form would Be Aware and that big handicap hurdler Sandown at the back end of the season is miles better than these, I would have thought. If you add to the fact that they're going to improve for that handicap mark being a novice event from that year. But I also thought the way the race was run would suit him as well. I've got a feeling he probably is a bridle horse. He's been running well and then not finding much. That might be down to his wind as well. But this race we set up, Real Stone will have to go off fast because he's got form over further and on deeper ground. So there's no other way that you can ride him, I don't think, in this race, which will set the race up nicely for Helmwin. As long as he can get a toe through, I think he'll go a favourite, Helmwin.
Moving on to the 145 at Kelso, the Bet365 Premier Chase. I mentioned a big day for Dan Skelton, doesn't get bigger than this. Classy Grey Dawning is bidding for a first win since last season's Cheltenham Festival to tee up a shot at the bowl. At Aintree, of course, missing the Gold Cup, for which he's 33-1 with Unibet. But he's going to take on another horse who's going to Aintree in Iroko, who's 12-1 for the Grand National. Have a bet here, though. Grey Dawning, your 4-7 favourite. Iroko, 6-4. Elefante for Scottish trainers Lucinda Russell and the rank outsider 150-1 Barron's Land. Let's start with you, Johnny. Grey Dawning, we're not going to see him at Cheltenham. Are we going to see him win at Kelso?
He should win at Kelso. Whether he does win or not is a different story. I mean, on the best form, he's better than Iroko. For all the Irokos, had some attention from the stewards, especially last time. I think, and it still is improving, on best form, Grey Dawn, he should be winning this. But at the prices, I'm happy to just watch him win and just settle for that. I don't need to be getting involved in it myself. But I think Grey Dawn will win, yeah.
Just watching. Robbie, on Grey Dawning, I know you're a fan of that Cheltenham Festival form from last season. I'm sure you'd be hoping he can give it another boost. How sort of high do you rate Grey Dawning as a chaser? And would he be your fancy for the bowl, albeit we don't know what's going to happen at Cheltenham? Who's going to come out of that race?
He'll have a good chance in the bowl. I mean, if you take out Royal Pagai, he's won the Betfair Chase by miles first time out. I mean, Royal Pagai's on his day at Haydock, as we know, he's a bit of a freak there. Wasn't quite himself in the King George. I wonder if that race at Haydock left the mark. It looked a really tough one. He's working back to Aintree, which means he's not going to be fully cooked up. So he's not one you want to be taking a short price about. That said, Iroko is also working back to a big target at Aintree. So it's just it's a race to leave and see what happens with View to the Future, I think.
Another one watching brief. Ed, we touched on Iroko there. You better offering 12-1 for the Grand National. Do you see him? Is he one that's caught your eye in the National Tour, Iroko, or would you look elsewhere?
No, I think he's definitely got to be on the shortlist. Obviously, being at the top end of the market, that's an obvious thing to say. But yeah, he's run previously this season with that big handicap in mind, isn't he? And I know from the stable that they've been obviously running him with that in mind for this season. So this is possibly the first race that he can win this season. I know that sounds strange because he's gone off short price, but the first run he was kind of held on to. Second run, he fell very early on in the race. And I've just got a feeling there's only two horses can win this race, isn't there? I've got a feeling that the race will be run to suit. Grey Dawning again will go out in front, and Iroko will be following through on the wings. I mean, at the weights and the handicap marks, you have to go with Grey Dawning. But there is a slight kind of thing in the back of my mind that he did have a hard race at Kempton in the King George. I know it is 65 days later, but I do have a bit of a worry. But I'm the same as both the guys. I won't be having a bet in the race, but I think it's kind of tougher to call than you might suggest. Be really interesting to see the outcome of the race. If Iroko wins, you can bet that he'll be towards the front end, maybe even favourite for the Grand National.
Yes, we're all quite agreed on this. And plenty of good racing to get stuck into and have a bet on in March. Perhaps we're just going to leave this one and watch and enjoy two cracking horses in action. We'll see if there's a difference of opinion, because we've got a really good handicap in the 220 at Kelsey. This is the Bet365 handicap hurdle. Dan Skelton won this race in 2023. He's got another favourite in Ace of Spades, the 85-40 favourite, looking to complete a hat-trick. Mr Bramley, 7-2. Nabwood, 6-1. Bold Light, 7-1. Joe Cooker, 10s. Inox, Alain, 11s. Let's go to you first, Ed. Not side of you yet. Where do you look for here?
Well, I think Ace of Spades can be the trump card for the whole meeting and maybe for the day. He's a lightly raced novice, and there's some excellent pieces of writing going around on Twitter at the moment. They're looking at the novices in the handicaps of Cheltenham. And I noticed one piece was written about novices generally in handicap hurdles and handicap chase. They have been outperforming the overall century stats over the last 5 years, and they win an awful lot of these handicap hurdles and even more handicap chases, i.e. novices that contest them. And this Ace of Spades is a novice. He's won at Kelso. He's had the least number of runs over hurdles of the field. He's the youngest horse in the race. The Skeltons will be desperate to get more money for this big pot that they're aiming for on ITV. I think he's got a lot of positives in what is a handicap hurdle, a Class 2 event, which should be competitive. I made Ace of Spades quite a good bet, actually. I like the fact that he's a lightly raced individual. But the price is a bit skinny. I'm sure the boys who look at value will be thinking that's mad going for a 2-1 shot. But I'm going to go for Ace of Spades.
Seems so simple, Ed, doesn't it? Seems so straightforward, some of these. We'll find out on Saturday at 2:20 if you're right. Johnny, just pick up what Ed said there regarding the handicaps. You're obviously our handicapper. Novices this season having a good record. What have you noted from that?
I can't say I've looked overly into it myself. But, you know, I tend to go through it on a race by race basis. Obviously, you do look for stats here and there, but you know, so if you think you've got a well-handicapped novice in open company, you probably do. But if you think, you know, it's still going to be a lot of novices going for open company that aren't going to be well-handicapped. So you've got to, you can't just assume automatically. But, you know, it's clearly got a lot of upside to this ace of spades. But I think that the stable with the winner last year might back it up again this year, and that's the Lucinda Russell Yard with Bold Light. They were obviously won over two and a half miles at Musselburgh back in January. Disappointed up and tripped 3 miles last time. Dropped back and tripped here is really going to benefit. You've got Jack Powell claiming seven, who had a winner in the week for the same stable. He's lightly raced as well. I think there's just a lot of upside to this horse. He's won at Kelso, albeit over not as far. I think at the prices, he's a really good each way there.
We're looking outside the favourite there. Robbie, you going to go for the Moted Classic or look elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm a bit like Ed. I like novice, but not Ace of Spades. I thought Ace of Spades was a little bit short. I thought Joe Cooker was quite interesting off an opening mark of 120 for Rebecca Menzies. If you stop the race 2 furlongs out, he ran in the Prestige Grade 2 at Haydock last time. You stop that 2 furlongs out, I think he was going to be, he looked like he was going to be second. He didn't really stay the 3 mile trip that day to my liking. He faded into fifth in the end. But I mean, that was a promising run with this sort of race in mind, dropping back to intermediate trips off a pretty low handicap mark. I thought Joe Cooker could go well at a nice price.
Okay, we move on to the 2.55 at Kelso, the Bet365 Premier Novices Hurdle. It's going to be the start of March, and we are going to see Mr. Willie Mullins back in Britain. He has got Chart Topper coming over, his first runner at Kelso. Will he be a winner? Well, he's not the favourite. The favourite is 3-1 Van der Poel for that in-form Ben Jones and Ben Poel in combination. Ben Jones riding off out of his skin at the minute. He's favourite 3-1. Chart Topper, Patrick Mullins also having his first ride at Kelso, is 4-1. Castle Carrock, 9-2. Dedicated Tira, 11-2. 11-2. Listen to Your Heart, 7-1. And Lagan Hill at 8-1. Let's go to you, Robbie. What's your verdict on the Mullins runner here?
He's probably not going to be anywhere near the top of the pecking order there. He's not got any Cheltenham entries or anything like that. So it's almost one of those where it'd be slightly disappointing if he did win. And just goes to show how dominant Mullins is. I don't know. I know the man opposite me in the corner gave him quite a big RPR, but I don't know exactly how much he's achieved. I'd be interested to see Johnny's take, but I thought Van der Poel was the one to beat. I'm on him anti-post. Very highly regarded by Ben Paulin. He said something earlier in the week that he thinks he could be his best novice. I mean, you can't take everything that people say at face value. I thought that was interesting because he's often well-stocked in the novice department, better than most. And just his form lines are working out well. But Huntingdon, on his rules debut for the stable, he beat, I mean, the second, third and fifth have won their next five between them. I think that's hot form. And then he's come out and won easily at Ludlow. I think he's a nice prospect. He's going to appreciate an extra couple of furlongs. And I think he's the right favourite.
Yeah, could be one we see at Aintree as well, if all goes well, you'd imagine. Johnny, you're not going to have a bet in this race. It's one you're looking to avoid. What was your verdict on the Irish horse Chart Topper? Robbie mentions the RPR.
I think he's a pretty good horse. And interestingly, if you go back to his run in May, he's fifth, not beaten too far behind a horse called Will the Wise, who's been in pretty good form for the Gavin Cromwell Yard of late. He was, you know, a bit disappointing when beaten a long way behind the Yellow Clay. He was a fair way behind Final Demand at Limerick. But then he's won his last two. He won last weekend, and they're going for, I think it's the Potemps they're going for at the festival. But no, she's there. And, you know, you just look through that sort of form, and along with his last two runs, won by 25 lengths, albeit in not much of a race at Downpatrick's. Come back of the best part of 6 months, won well enough at Weatherby behind a horse who, if I'm not mistaken, was a pretty decent winner for the John J. Neal Yard at Newbury at Christmas. And it probably is the best form in the race, but there's so many lightly races. You've got Road Less Travelled, who was meant to run last weekend but didn't for some reason. He's got form with Country Mile, and you know, for those disappointed over Christmas, there's a number in there. There's so much upside to them, and I'd rather just have a watch. For all I think, Chart Topper is the right favourite for the race.
Another one to sit and watch. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, difficult race. We are going industry best price on this particular contest. So once again, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's the best price in the village will be available at Unibet from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. So you don't need to go anywhere else. You won't get a better price simply than that, than all the horses. So whatever you fancy in this particular contest, please, if you wish, go to unibet.co.uk. I mean, having gone from a Motorhead Classic with Ace of Spades, I'm going to go to a country and western single with Rose Less Travelled. I think this one, once again, is going to be my selection, giving a penalty away in a grade two. Do you remember last week? I sound like a broken record to keep on with the music theme, but last week I said the same thing. He got a penalty in the Dovecote, but he was pulled out. And I think that was due to the ground worsening. Nicky Henderson told me during the week that he's glad that he didn't run either of his juveniles at Kempton, because he would have pulled them out because of the ground. And they pull this one out. And that backs up what John Joe O'Neill and the Connections have said on the Racing Post quote, saying that he'd be better on better ground. So I'm quite pleased about that. And it will be better ground at Kelso. Currently good to soft. We record this on a Thursday, so things might change. And he's one of the best horses in the race, I think. But he does have that penalty, and that's what kind of gives him a big price. But he is currently double figure odds again. So I'm going to go for exactly the same as I did last week, but on a different race, but with the same horse, Road Less Travelled, double figure odds. I think he's got a good chance on better ground.
Was 11-1, now 10-1, Ed. So they're clearly listening to you, clearly playing your playlist by the sounds of it. Let's see what you like in the 3:30. This is the big race at Kelso, the Bet365 More Battle Hurdle, where that 100 grand double is up for grabs. Emmett Mullins did it a few years ago with the Shunter. Is he going to do it again with this Chio? Winner at the Dublin Racing Festival and 3-1 favourite for Emmett and Danny Mullins. Tell of a name at 5-1. John Joe O'Neill this week at his press day said very, very little. He gave nothing away. But we did know he was very keen to get Tell of a Name entered up at Cheltenham with, hopefully, the money from Kelso in the bag. He's a 5-1 chance. Favour and Fortune, already a winner in Scotland, of course. Winner of the Scottish Champion Hurdle at 13-2. Cracking Rhapsody, last year's winner, is at 17-2. Florida Dream at 10s. And Petrol Head at 11s. Johnny, Robbie, should I say, we were in the office yesterday discussing Tell of a Name. We're both quite keen on the chances here, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one. This is the one this week, James. Just think he's on a very, very good mark. I think he's going to win this. And I think he's going to go off a lot shorter than 33-1 for the county hurdle. Just his novice form lines are working out really well. I mean, he smashed up Lucky Place, who's a lot of people's idea of a potential stay as hurdle winner. He's run Django Bay close. Django Bay's a very smart horse. He's just not been seen very much since. I thought he ran pretty well in the Fighting Fifth, though. Reportedly wasn't fit for that first time out. He's been trained with a spring campaign in mind. He likes better ground. The drying surface at Kelso is certainly going to be in his favour. And I think 137, he's like 100% better than that. I don't see many of these as potential candidates for this race itself. I don't think it's the best more battle I've seen, particularly with the two JP horses coming out. So I think he's 5-1 now. I think that's perfectly fair. And I wouldn't put anyone off having a few quid on him for the county hurdle, because that is going to be the plan. And if it is good ground there, I think you could go very close in that too.
Confidence for our anti-postman. I completely agree with you, Robbie. I think when the horse gets the ground, he's a really classy talent. So all of you on Tell of a Name at 5-1 as it stands. Johnny?
I can see the case for Tell of a Name, but I'm going to have to go a different direction for a horse that also has form with Django Bay. That is Favour and Fortune for the Alan King stable. I fancied him at Ascot on reappearance after a layoff, and they didn't really run any race. But then last time he was in the Bet the Hurdle at Newbury, too far back, kept on pretty well. And I think all the first few home that day are actually pretty well handicapped. He's not gone up for it because he's been beaten what seems a long way, but actually he hasn't been beaten that far to take the winner out of it. He's only three and a half lengths behind, and what, four to finish second, which I think is a pretty solid piece of form. He's still improving this season, and I don't see him finishing out the three. Cannot see him out the three.
Straightforward like that, Johnny. We've got a confidence opinion about the more batter. I like it. Favour and Fortune there for Johnny. Ed?
Really difficult race, but it's great that it's a handicap and a competitive handicap. those of you with long memories remember when this was not a handicap and you used to get kind of horses going off at 1 to 14 in it. In fact, the 1 to 14 shot got beaten this Sainar back in 2010 for Nicky Henderson. Who remembers that? I certainly do. So it's crazy.
If anyone would, Ed.
Yeah, if anyone's going to, it's me. Yeah, yeah. But it's a good race, good handicap. We're going extra place. I'm going to pick out two kind of each way alternatives. It's a very difficult race, too difficult for the likes of me. But I've just got a couple of kind of suggestions. As I said earlier on, novices in handicaps. I think the stat is actually 27% of races were won by novices between 2000 and 2020. And that's gone up to 40% between 20 and 20 and now. So what those stats actually mean underneath, I'm not too sure, but that's what I read and that sounded quite impressive. But anyway, I'm going to go for Gentleman Bill at a big price. I thought ran a good race with a double penalty last time, an improving novice hurdler. I like Charlie Todd. He's on board. That's an interesting jockey booking. I think he's quite a big price at 16 to 1. And the other one, I've got to go for Mildam. And we haven't mentioned it yet, and I think this is the perfect opportunity. But what form is jockey Ben Jones in? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. At the time of recording, his last 15 rides, he's won 12. That's sensational. I kind of had a quick look at the history book to see how that kind of rates. And you'll know this, James, maybe for your days at Chepstow, but Sir Gordon Richards in 1933 rode 12 consecutive winners over 3 days, 11 at Chepstow over 2 days. So it's that sort of form he's in. And I love a horse in form, so I'm going to go with a jockey in form and also maybe put up Mildam at each way price of about 25 to 1. But it is a really difficult race, and that extra place will definitely come in handy.
Good. Well, after the break, we will be looking at the action at Newbury. We've got three of the last Coral Gold Cup winners, and then, of course, we'll be heading to Doncaster.
You want over £2,000 in Cheltenham free bets? Visit racingpost.com/freebets, the ultimate hub for betting offers. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Okay, well, before we head to Newbury, let's have a little look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival. And some exciting news for you. On Monday, we will be having a special Racing Post and Unibet preview night with, no less, Tom Segal, Paul Keighley, Nicky Henson, Nico de Boinville. And of course, our man Ed Nicholson will be looking at that. We're looking at all the big races at the Cheltenham Festival, so do not miss that. Some really exclusive insight, including from Nicky Henson, who, Ed, gave us a little glimpse of what we've got to look forward to in 2 weeks at Kempton on Monday with Constitution Hill Gallop. You were there. What was the sort of signs? What did we learn? Albeit, it was only a racecourse gallop.
Yeah, just a racecourse gallop. Some people are saying the amount of coverage it's got is ridiculous. But as Michael Buckley said, you know, the last twice that he's had a racecourse gallop, it's shown him something. It's told them something. And if they had run that horse in a race, it might have been much worse than it was. So the racecourse gallop is there for Nicky and the team to know something. It was kind of hastily arranged because, and I know this for a fact, because we had planned to go to Seven Barrows that day to do our very own Unibet Cheltenham Festival preview, and we had to reroute to go to do it at Kempton. So we, after the gallop, we talked to him in one of the boxes. So it wasn't planned, but I think Nico had something to do with it and just said, you know, he maybe needs another blowout to get the adrenaline going. Not necessarily a gallop, but the getting into the box, getting to the race course, mentally getting him right. And on the day, as I've heard lots of people say, his horses that he partnered with were rated much inferior. So he should have done what he did. And he did do what he did. But Nico and everyone were really happy. And obviously very different from 12 months ago. And he did ride other horses there as well. So it wasn't just him. He had 11 horses that galloped at Kempton. And he's in a much better frame of mind, Nicky, that is, probably the horse as well, than he was 12 months ago. He kind of was worried going into that meeting last year, as you probably all remember. But he's in good form. He thinks the horses are in good form and he's looking forward to it. I think he'll have a good festival, James.
Yeah, and we'll be fascinated to hear what he says on Monday about all those chances. Don't go anywhere, that's live on the Racing Post channels at 4 p.m. on Monday. Let's head to Newbury, a place which Nick Henson certainly knows very well. And the ground there is soft, heavy in place on the chase course and heavy, soft in place on the hurdle course. We are going to start with the 120. The BetVictor Super Boost has arrived. Veterans Handicap Chase. Loads of familiar names here, including a Coral Gold Cup winner in Cloudy Glen. We'll go through the market. It's Credo at 3-1. Here's staying with Sam Brown, always on the show, isn't he, Sam Brown, in these races? 7-2, Gustavian. Another for Anthony Honeyball at 4s. Good Boy Bobby at 6s. Quick Wave, his first run since 2023, 7-1. Granders Cottage at 8. Cloudy Glen, as I discussed, at 11s. And Amateur at 25-1. Johnny, all the old favourites. Which one is going to win?
I think one of Anthony Honeyball's will win. Which one? You can make debates either way on that. But I'm going to give a chance to Gustavian again. I've backed him a few times. Early in the season, he's a bit out of form. Fell at Sandown, 2 runs about that at the second, so sort of ignore that. He's run well behind stablemate Credo last time, but he's, what, £6 better off with him this time round. And I think he'll run a solid race. It's an each way play, nothing too fancy, but I think he should outrun his price and go pretty close.
Gustavian for Johnny. Do we agree, Ed?
No, I like what he said to begin with, that Anthony Honeyball will probably win the race, but I'm going to go for Sam Brown, and I'm going to stop at that one. Hopefully you'll recognise the music again. The music theme, Stop, was a song performed by Sam Brown. But anyway, so Sam Brown is the selection, who won the final of the Veterans Chase Stayers last year and has been running almost as well as ever this year. He likes Newbury. He came fourth in the Grade 2 Denman last time, didn't he? Behind some serious contenders, almost at level weights, beating about 15 lengths. But he does, that is going to be nothing like the horses he bumps into today. And he has got a big weight of 12 stone too. But Chad Bayman's going to take £10 off the back, and Chad's not a bad jockey, young jockey. He's had 4 wins and 29 rides this year, and he obviously knows the horse very well. And I know Anthony Honeyball, it has kind of targeted the veterans races this year with his older horses. And this might be just the one for him. So Sam Brown's a selection.
Sam Brown for Ed. Robbie, is it going to be a Honeyball selection for you as well?
Yeah, Honey Monster holds the key, doesn't he? I'm against Credo. I thought Credo was given a brilliant ride by Harry Copland at Exeter last time. Gustavian went very hard from the outset. Copland just let him get on with it. The sectional time showed that everything was slowing down badly right at the end. I think if Gustavian can be ridden a bit more efficiently by Rex Dingwall, I think he's got a massive chance. And he's a bigger price to reverse the form. I'd actually fear Sam Brown more than Credo, because I do like Chad Bannon claiming 10 still. He didn't run too badly in the Denman, really. So I think it's between those two. I think Credo was slightly flattered last time and she's worse off. But Gustavian will be the selection for me.
Let's move on to the 3:45. The highlight at Newbury, this is the BetVictor Great Wood Gold Cup over 2.5 miles, where we're going to see, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Can Do Kid, who Paul Nichols had his Cheltenham Media Day this week, talks about some of his Cheltenham chances, but also potentially 5 runners in the Grand National. Can Do Kid is definitely the main contender. He won the Grand National with a grey. Might have another chance in Can Do Kid this year. He is not the favourite here, though. The favourite is Billy the Big Red. Billy the Real Big Red, I should say, caught me out. 9-2 favourite. Iroko, 5-1. This is his second preference race. The race at Kelso we discussed earlier is the first choice. Can Do Kid, 11-2. Vincenzo at 7-1. Sonsi Gal, 17-2. La Milos, another winner of the Coral Gold Cup in years gone by, 9-1, along with Scarface. Let's come straight back to you, Robbie. Who is going to win the Great Wood on Saturday?
Yeah, you didn't mention the winner there, James. I think Paint the Dream is going to... Well, it's going to go very well, I think. I just looked at it at the start of the week and thought, he's 33-1. That's got to be a Rick. I mean, Paint the Dream, he is one of these veterans we were just talking about. He's 11 years old now, but on his day, he was a proper monster at Newbury. Like, he ran to an RPR of 164 when winning this 3 years ago. Ran really well again 2 years later, went third. He's just been brought back from a long absence this season. He didn't run at all between the 2023 Great Wood and this December, but his marks come down an awfully long way since. He was basically run off 158 in that race 2 years ago. He's now off 135. I think the trainer hasn't had a winner yet this season, but He had a horse run really well in an attempt to qualify to finish fourth at a massive price recently. I think the horses might be coming to hand. And you just know this would have been the target. So I think he's still a very big each-way price. I think Paint the Dream will give you a very good run for your money.
A win for Wales, perhaps. And Robbie talking about 33-1. I'm afraid that's not around anymore. 14-1, the current price for the former winner in the Greatwood Gold Cup. Ed, I'm looking at all the runners again, not just on form, not just what chance they've got, but any sort of musical connection, trying to work out what you're going to do. I don't see any here, but what do you like in the Greatwood?
No, I'm stumped this time, but I'm going to go for Can Do Kid. He's got a great Newbury record, 4 runs, 2 wins, 2 seconds, obviously won the Coral last time out. That was, he's only gone up, what, £5, is he, or something? £7 to 152. Down in trip, obviously 2.5, but with the Grand National in mind, I just thought he was going to win. I know, I'm surprised he wasn't a favourite, to be honest. He's 20-1 for the Grand National at the moment, and he is Paul Nicholls' number one hope for that race, as said by him on the Cheltenham previews. I just think he'll win and it'll be shortened for the Grand National. So I'm going to take a bit of 20s for the Grand National, and I'm going to back him on Saturday in this race. We are going extra place in this race. It is a premier handicap, so it is a competitive race. And I should have said that opening contest at Newbury, the 120, the veterans chase, we're money back second or third as cash. We've got different terms and conditions, so please do go and read that on the website. But this particular race, I thought the Can Do Kid Can Do.
Yeah, we're plenty of offers over the weekend. We'll give you a chance just to go through them towards the end of the show. But finally, we'll hear what Johnny Pearson thinks is going to win the Greatwood.
It's all about one horse, and that's Billy the Real Big Red. Really fancied him at Cheltenham last time. He was backed off the boards into 9-5 favourites from sort of 8-1, 2 days out. And then stablemate Jaguar on the drift and goes and travels all over him and wins as easily as you like. And I think that's a really, really strong piece of form. I think Jaguar is one of the standout bets for the one of the handicaps at the festival and the what's the horse, Jack something or other. And I think Billy the Real Big Red still got a lot of improvements to come. Step up to 3 miles, I think, will suit, but that's the only sort of niggle in my mind about this. But I can't. I just think he'll win this. You know, you've got a lot of older horses. You need further. When I say further, you know, sort of 4 miles. And he should be getting the job done here.
Billy the Big Red Kid, I can't even say it. What I can say, though, Johnny, is you snuck us a Cheltenham Festival tip in there very nicely, Jaguar, for the Jack Richards on the first day of the Thursday. So go check that out. Johnny, of course, was tipping up when the weights were revealed for the Cheltenham races on Tuesday. Let's move on to Doncaster, though. Not get too excited about Cheltenham just yet. Granted, Doncaster, as we record on Thursday afternoon, is good to soft. Good in place on the chase and good to soft on the hurdles track. And it's the hurdles track where we start, because the 205 is our first race. The live score bet mares novices hurdle, where Irish trainer Liam Kenny has just his third runner in Britain. Can he get a first runner? Well, he's got the favourite in World of Fortunes at 6-4. Dame of the Cotswolds at 3-1. Miss Cynthia at 6. Bobby with an eye of first runner for a first ride for James Byrne for Joe Tizard. He did ride for Colin before at 7s, and Star Walking at 17-2. Robbie, what is your assessment of World of Fortunes? Well, look so promising at the start of a season, hasn't quite delivered, but on ratings would suggest.
Yeah. She's essentially been running in much better races than this at Leopardstown against better horses. I think this is a pretty poor race, to be honest. She's also given the impression that she might have a little bit more to offer at 3 miles. She has won over 3 miles in the past. I think this looks just a very good piece of place, and I'd make her a pretty solid favourite, to be honest. And getting Brian Hughes aboard is no bad thing. So, yeah, I think she'll take a lot of beating.
Certainly not. Johnny is sitting out of this race with a short price favourite. Ed, on the favourite or against?
No, I think the favourite wins. I'd be interested in what Robbie thinks of the price. Do you think she'll go odds on?
Possibly. I don't know. I don't. Well, there's like a big gulf between the second favourite, Dame the Cotswolds, and the rest of them. And I don't see much form that suggests Dame the Cotswolds is a massive player. So, yeah, I mean, she could go off odds on. It wouldn't surprise you at all, would it?
Yeah. I just, looking at the rest of the field, there wasn't really great depth of opposition, was there, to her? So I was surprised that she wasn't shorter in the betting than she is now. So, yeah, I agree. World of Fortune should win. 3-5 over hurdles, and obviously, as Robbie was saying, grade ones last time, and ran in the Willie Mullins Racing Festival last time. She should win, I think.
You've been spending too long in the company of Nicky Henson if you're calling it the Willie Mullins Racing Festival. I'm interested in what he'll hear on Monday about the DRF and some of those top horses. I'm sure they'll discuss them. But we are going to discuss the 240 at Doncaster, the Virgin Bet every Saturday Money Back Handicap Chase. We've got two course and distance winners at the top of the betting. Petit Tonnerre is your 85-40 favourite. Sorry, I've just looked the wrong race there, I thought. A Rare Edition at 9-2. Gabriel's Getaway at 6-1. Hom Public at 7s. Tommy's Oscars at 8, along with Melistic and Calico. The market has changed since I wrote that this morning. But Petit Tonnerre is your short price favourite. Johnny, will Petit Tonnerre win?
I think Petit Tonnerre definitely has the ability to win, but he's been one of the most frustrating horses to follow over the last of the season or two. He gave a good account in the Henry the whatever novice at Sandown a couple of years ago. And that form looked pretty good. And then he's just been disappointing ever since. And largely because he seemingly really struggles to jump over fences. One last got back to winning ways at Doncaster last time, but the race sort of fell apart a bit. He still didn't jump that well. He would be my fancy for the race, but that does depend on him jumping well. I think if he jumps well, the ability's there. But if he starts jumping poorly, I don't think he'll be winning off the £5 higher mark than last time.
Robbie, we've got one of your favourites in here, haven't we? Horse has been a few times on the show. Is it going to be the same again?
Editeur. I've got to keep the faith. He's such a big price here. I think Gary Moore, the Moores have been waiting for some decent ground for him. He's going to get out of Doncaster. He was taken out of Warwick because of the conditions. Just feel like he's the kind of... I'm loving these old boys today. I'm feeling like he's the kind of horse that's got one last hurrah in him. He's come down a long way in the weights. We know he's got a hell of a lot of ability. He won this easily 18 months ago. There have been little glimpses. I know he's been beaten a long way, etc. But there have been little glimpses of promise, despite the fact that he's not as good as he used to be. And I could see him going well at a nice price. I assume this has been the target ever since Warwick. So... yeah, he's one to consider at the odds.
Editor the Geek, Robbie's old friend, supporting all the old boys apparently today. Look forward to how that works out on Saturday afternoon. Ed?
When you said that, I thought you were going to throw one old boy to another.
Dream of it.
Petit Tonnerre, I thought, absolutely right what's been said. Really frustrating in his chasing career. Everyone was talking about him being handicapped for a Cheltenham Festival win a couple of seasons ago. When he travels and didn't always go through with his effort, but because of that, his rating has dropped from 140s down to 130 today, and he won off 125 was it last time out at Doncaster. I'm a big fan of Kevin Brogan. I think he's a really good jockey, especially on horses that have to be held on to. I think he's very, very good, and I also think. Trainers tell me and jockeys tell me, and obviously I've got no idea, but when a horse has been disappointing, there's always something, there's a reason behind it. And when the horse wins, it sometimes kind of alleviates the either the pain or the worry or the mental stress of a horse, and they then can sometimes go on and win a couple. The fact that Petit Tonnerre has actually won, I think is a positive, even though he doesn't jump well. I'm the same as Johnny. I'm worried about his jumping. I love Kevin Brogan on a horse like this. I'm going to give Petit Tonnerre another chance. He is a bit short, though, I must admit, in the betting, but that'll be my selection. I probably wouldn't back him, but it'll be my selection.
Favourite Petit Tonnerre. Well, last race we'll be looking at on the ITV is the 3:15 at Doncaster, the Virgin Bet Grimthorpe Handicap Chase. Johnny, you mentioned to me about the flat season. This is why jump racing is so good. What an absolute corker this looks to be. Favourite, 5-1, White Rhino, if I can say it. Some Scope also at 5-1. We've All Been Caught, 6-1. Hi-Mac, 6-1. Surrey Quest, 7s. Twig, 11s. King Turgeon, 11s. The Nip Hand, 12. An absolute cracking handicap chase. This is why we love the jumps, Johnny, isn't it?
It is, and I can tell you can't wait for the Lincoln in a month's time. That's really shining through. It is, and there's a lot of chance here. There's a lot of horses that you could argue are well handicapped or around their mark, but it looks very competitive. But I'm going to have to go with Surrey Quest again. The horse rarely, okay, he unseats at Newbury, but very rarely puts a foot wrong. He's been placed three of his last four starts. Mark's the same as it has been the last twice. So I'd be disappointed if he's not in the frame at the finish.
Okay. Robbie, where are you looking?
Yeah, big fan of some scope here, James. I think he's a pretty solid favourite. He was on one of only two finishers in this race last season. The race won by Does He Know. Really, really attritional stuff. He travelled all over the winner that day, but it was the heavy ground that sort of caught him out in the end. He's not that much higher since. His profile's been a bit in and out, but I think a lot of that is to do with the fact that he doesn't really like Cheltenham. It was reported that he only ran at Cheltenham last time at 2.5 miles to replace Fugitive for the same owner. So I don't think that was ever really the plan. I think this was, he's a staying chaser. He was just called for speed there. I don't think he likes the track either. So with conditions looking quicker and Gavin Sheehan on board, I like Gavin Sheehan in this sort of race. He's still only 7 as well. I think he's betting 127. I think he's got a massive chance here.
I think I'm just about over what happened last year in this race with some scope. But we'll see. As you say, he did travel so well. Finally, Ed, finish us off.
Yeah, I like, if the ground is faster rather than slower, it's good to soft at the moment. And it can go either way at Doncaster, can't it? I hope it's for dry ground, because I think we've all been caught, would have a great chance of winning this, especially the way the Grinthorpe at Doncaster, I always think of a kind of a war of attrition. They go off so quickly, and sometimes horses don't get into it. And I like horses that go, that are prominent in this race. It's a flat course, as we all know, Doncaster, so it's quite difficult to come from behind. Obviously, if it's an uphill finish, horses that stay on like a fast race because they can come off a fast pace. But at Doncaster on a flat track, it does seem to benefit those horses being prominent. And this particular horse won last time out for a very prominent ride at Doncaster. Nigel Twiston Davies has got it back again. Has been with Christian Williams for a few runs. And I loved Sam Twiston Davies on this sort of horse. He is so aggressive with his rides on these 3 milers. He pushes them into the fence and they come up for him. I expect we've all been caught to kind of set a fast pace. If someone's going quicker than him, they're going too quick. And I think he'll be up there regardless. And his joint favourite at the moment, around about 6-1. But I think he's got a great chance. If it was to go softer ground conditions, my enthusiasm would be a little bit less so. But on good ground, we've all been caught.
6-1 in your almost second favourite, joint second favourite, is We've All Been Caught. We will be looking at the racing away from the ITV cameras, as well as hearing about the best bets, after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, and before we do, Ed, let's hear what Unibet have got on offer for us this weekend.
Right, here we go. Plenty of racing and offers. So I'll try and take a big breath. Newbury 120, money back second, third as cash. That's the veterans handicap chase with Sam Brown et al. The next offer is going to the 345, the handicap chase with Can Do Kid. We're going extra place there in the Greatwood. Over at Kelso, we've got, what offer have we got here? We've got industry best price on the 255, which is the novices hurdle, the grade two with road less travelled, etc. So if any horse you want to have a bet in that race, go to Unibet at 9 a.m. on Saturday, because we'll be the industry best price for the whole of the day. And the more battle, we've got an extra place. Doncaster 205 with super boost. So every horse will go next price up on the price ladder from 9 o'clock. And then finally, the extra place in the Grimthorpe at 3:15.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Ed. All of those to check out. And as we have said a few times, Unibet and Racing Post, a Cheltenham preview out on Monday. Do make sure to check that out. Robbie, you've not got anything else for us. We're going to go straight to Johnny, who's going to look at Ireland on Sunday.
We've got a couple of cracking races at Navan. The first one, you've got the Flying Bolt Novice Chase over 2 miles, and you've got the likes of Champ Kylie and Janot Lapin in there, who was very impressive at Christmas. And I know Robbie's a bit of a fan of, which if you read the weekend, you'll see he's actually tipped up for this weekend. And in the 350 at Avon, you've got the Boyle Sports Webster Cup Chase, Grade 2, over 2.5 miles. And you've got El Fabiolo stepping up to 2.5 miles for the first time, going against Gentleman to Me and Grange Clare West to the same Willie Mullingard. Are they going to go Cheltenham? Are they seeing if he wants 2.5 miles ahead of the Ryanair? Maybe. And it could be very informative come 2 weeks' time when they're running around the Cotswolds. But yeah, I'm not going to be having a bet there. I don't know what price are, but it'll be definitely one to keep an eye on with regards to 2 weeks' time.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to our best bets. And Robbie, you've teased it pretty teed up. I think we know what you're going to say here.
Yeah, I'm very, 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 very keen on Teller the Name. 3 o'clock at Kelso. 3:30, sorry.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go for Van der Poel in the 2:55 at Kelso just before Ben Pauling, and we know about Ben Jones's incredible run of form. Hopefully it continues. Ed?
Yeah, 2:20 at Kelso. I hope that Ace of Spades motorhomes and wins by more than a head.
Thank you very much, Ed. And finally, Johnny.
I'm going to go with Billy the Real Big Red at Newbury in 3:45.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much to our panel. That's Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson. Of course, to you listening or watching at home, as always, you enjoy the shows, then please make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Loads of good Cheltenham stuff coming. We'll also have a Cheltenham Festival special of a podcast on the Monday before the meeting with some of our best bets, big fancies, having a look at those key races. So do make sure to join us then. But before then, we've, of course, got Imperial Cup Day at Sandown. So join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday. We'll be looking through all the big racing at Sandown and hopefully teeing up some winners before the big one. But until next time, do make sure to enjoy the racing this weekend. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.